great to be here. Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Sorry, I've come to the age where to put these on, to see my bones, and take them off to see you. But if you can excuse that, thanks, Susan, for the introduction. I've been writing poetry, as you heard from Susan. It's a bit of a mouthful, really, all those books or publications. I've been writing very straightforward poetry most of my life, but about 10 years ago, March 2005, I was trying to write a poem in the local library, which at that time was where I used to write for a bit of peace. And I knew I had an idea for the poem, but I couldn't write it. So I went for a walk around the library, and then I came back and I started writing it as a visual poem, and the words began to flow. So that kind of loosened up a lot of other visual poems which I wrote. So I had a book published with about half and half, straightforward and visual. But just this year, just a month ago, this was published. And this is jumping in at the deep end. This is all visual poetry. So I'm going to read just from this book tonight. And,
is it there?
Yeah. And the first, I'm going to start with that poem there. The first few poems, the first section of the book is about Drogheda, Bridge of the Ford. And there's a whole kind of sequence of poems, and Winter Solstice at Delft is the first. So you have to kind of imagine yourself, you'd have to have the book to follow it, but you imagine yourself in a boat on the Boyne River, starting at Delft, which is near Newgrange, but less well known, and going past Drogheda, poem by poem, past Drogheda, under the viaduct, and out to the mouth of the River Boyne. So I'm just going to read a few of those poems, and I'll tell you when I've reached the mouth of the Boyne and move on to other material. Some of these poems I can't really read because they're only made of one poem, of one word, but I can tell you why I wrote them and what they're about. So the first one, so I chose to read this one just because visual poetry, I think probably a lot of people don't know how to read it. They're kind of, well, if these words are all over the place and upside down, where are we supposed to start? So in this one, there's a number one to help anyway, and you read down, and it's about Delft. You probably all know about the winter solstice at Newgrange, that at dawn, when the sun rises over the horizon, the beam shines into Newgrange and lights up the passage. It's a megalithic tomb. But what a lot of people don't know is that nearby at Delft, there is a sunset at the same time, at the winter solstice. At 3 in the afternoon, the sun beams into Delft and lights it up. Another thing you might know is that Delft is only open for 1.5 hours a year. On sometimes not the 21st, because there are so many people at Newgrange, the people in the interpretive centre don't want the hundreds to pile over to Delft, so they often just change it to the next day and there'll be a smaller crowd there. But in this poem, which I wrote in 2010, there was a blizzard. Wasn't 2010 the Christmas of the blizzard? There was snow for 3 weeks. And they didn't open Delft at all because of health and safety issues. But the following day, I went out and the snow was on the ground. It was absolutely blazing sun. Looked through the lock gate and this is what I saw. Sorry, have to put these on. Winter solstice at Delft. 3 p.m. Hunkered down in the fallen snow, we watch the sun sweep through the bars of the locked gate. The chamber fills with light. Just you and I here to see, as if we sat side by side, slowly turning the original light-filled pages of the Book of Kells. So, moving on. This poem is in two pages. So this is the first page, the song artist. And if you went downstream a little bit and got out of your boat and went inland, you come to the high cross at Monaster Boys. There are two high crosses. There's the cross of Muradach, and then there's the high cross, also known as the West Cross, I think, which is the highest cross in Ireland. But the cross of Muradach, it has kind of scenes from the Old Testament on one side and the New Testament on the other side. But one really strange thing about it is that it's very worn. These crosses are from the 9th century, and they're very faded. But in winter time, when the sun is very low in the sky, the shadows are deep, and it looks like the cross is new. You can see everything again. So I was trying to imitate in this poem a bit of interlace, which you can't really see on a dull day. But on a winter's day, when the sun is shining and the shadows are deep, it's like new. So it's not very long. The first part, that part, is deep shadowed sunset renews fading patterns. And then there's the next one page. Sudden illumination, shadow worlds fluttering. Someone in Scotland wrote a review of a small book there called The Sun Artist, but he wrote a review and he complained that I had over-explained that poem by putting the line at the bottom, the deep shadowed sunset, because he felt the reader should be able to just work it out with the pattern. Deep shadow, that's the second part. Illumination, sudden shadow whirls, fluttering. But I felt that the reader might need a little bit of help in that. I don't know if I could work it out. So moving on, the next two are just very quick ones. Drogheda, the Irish for Drogheda is, the English for Drogheda is Bridge of the Ford. And, Bridge of the Ford 1 is a mini-map of Drogheda, made up of the old names for the town. So I'm just going to read the old names. Trid, Treda, Drogheda, Drogheda, Drodag, Drogheda, Drodog, Drogheda, Drogheda, Drogheda. And the next one, Bridge of the Ford 2. There was only one bridge across the Boyne, and it was at Drogheda, at where the town started. And it was a ford, first of all, just a very shallow crossing area. And then the first bridge was built across it of wood. and then many other bridges through the centuries. And this, as you can see, it's just, it's bridge, that's the bridge. And then river, the bridge is over the river line. So that's just that one. So on to the mouth of the river line. And this will be a bit more long-winded. So it's kind of a favourite stomping ground of mine. I don't know whether I like. There, one side, Baltray, is in County Louth, but just across the river, Mornington, is County Meath. So I used to go all the time to Mornington, then I moved house, so now I go most of the time to Baltray. And if you're in Mornington, you look across to Baltray and maybe think, oh, looks nicer over there, the sun is shining over there. And if you're in Baltray, you look across to Mornington. So the first one, I'm going to read four, so it's looking four ways, so it's kind of north, south, east and west. So the first one is the Crook Road, Mornington. So a woman is looking across, well the woman is me, a woman is looking across the line at the seawall, at Baltray, and I'm going to read just the words that make up that, and then I'm going to read what I call a gloss, which is really just kind of amplifying that picture that you see there. And I suppose my idea when I was writing this poem, the words don't have to be in any particular order, because I look across the river and I see everything at once. So anyway, the words making up that part are mussel shells, woman, river, wall, beacon, star, and the little poem is the Crook Road, Mornington. Standing on mussel shells, looking across the river at night, the stars above Baltray. So another day, I was out at Baltray, on the seawall, looking across the river at Mornington. And these are some of the things I saw. I was standing on the wall, I saw a beacon, the river, the boats.
The next way.
Yeah. The caravan. It's still there. Lime green. The Crook Road, which I was standing on in the first poem. And the main tower, which is just made up of M's, and it's a very, very tall tower. And the sunset, a cloud, and I hear a peacock screech in the trees over in Mornington. And this is the gloss. The seawall, Baltray. Standing on the seawall at Baltray, looking at Mornington, the Maiden Tower and the caravans, fishing boats upside down on mussel shells. So the third one, I'm on the Baltray side and I'm taking a walk down the seawall towards the Aliera beacon, looking at the Aliera beacon. And it's at low tide, and the words that make up that picture are moon, ship, sea, waves, beacon, wall, river, nesting terms. And a little poem is Towards the Sea. Walking the wall towards the sea. On my left, the noisy nesting terns. And far off, a container ship waiting for the high tide. Those ships can't get up the Boyne River at low tide, or even they just have to come in on the high tide because there's a bar, there's a sandbar, and they can't get across it at low tide. And then the last one. On the Baltray side again, I'm just looking back towards Drogheda to a place called Beauty Wood, which is like a small forest. And it's dusk, and the Brent geese always seem to be heading to the sea at dusk. They're always flying across. So the words are clouds, Brent geese, trees, river, beacon, mirror, sand dune. Looking back towards Drogheda. Brent geese fly over the dunes at dusk. Their beating wings like the stick of a bow striking a violin. Sea fog drifts upriver, slowly hiding the trees of beauty. So with that, that's the end of the Drogheda poems. We've reached the sea. So on to part two, which is kind of the rest of life. And part two is called The Dream Clock.
And
I'm going to read that one. So it's in two parts. Clock phase one and two. And it's called The Dream Clock because I had a dream one night. And the dream was that I wanted to paint a picture. I needed to paint a picture. But I needed someone to help me, to kind of guide me to paint it. And when I had that help, I could paint the picture. The dot is where the poem begins. Kneeling, drawing, seeking the image I need to see. You nearby, helping me. The weight of my life lifts like a stone, letting the sun shine warmly in. This is where the title and the subtitle is way longer than the poem. So I can't really read the poem, but I'll tell you what it's about. Women of a certain age have sons of a certain age, and I have a son in his 20s who orders things. He plays the guitar and he's obsessed with pedals, loop pedals, wah-wah pedals, delay effect pedal and a whammy pedal. But where the mother fits in is while he's sleeping the morning away, the doorbell rings and I'm in my pajamas at 10 in the morning. This huge box is delivered from Thoman. And then at about 2 in the afternoon, the huge box is opened and there's a tiny little whammy pedal at the centre of it. So that's just what that poem is about. I decided to make a whammy pedal out of the word whammy. And then I decided to put it in a box.
So,
that's that one. Towards the Light. So, if you can see it, you read up. It stretches upwards and outwards like a tree of life. In the deep, long ago dawn of my life, a child stretches awake. Light climbs the sky. I climb the light. Day grows from day. Time like a tree. Now I look back at the years, the dead ends, and the open spaces. I still lean towards the light. This one, I don't know if anyone likes early morning radio listening, but I do. I catch up on my news early in the morning. So in 2009, over about 3 months of the summer and into autumn, there were kind of intermittent reports, a lot of reports, and then the reports faded, and then to come back into the news, about two women, an Irish woman, Sharon Cummins, and a Ugandan woman, Hilda Kiwuki. They were working for Gull in North Darfur in Sudan, and they were abducted. They were taken from their compound one night, and nobody knew what had happened to them. So, you know, I suppose this went on for about 3 months, and they'd kind of fade from the news, and they'd come back, and I think, God, what has become of those women? So they were finally released. They were abducted on July the 3rd, I think it was, 2009, and they were released on October the 18th. And so I just immediately decided I wanted to write a poem about them, a poem of celebration. So it's meant to be like a banner that dictated the form, that it wouldn't just be a lyric, it'd be a banner of celebration. And again, you can, like at the centre, there's Sharon's name and then Hilda's name. And I took that idea from the Book of Durrow. I really like some of those early Irish manuscripts, like the Book of Durrow and the Book of Kells. So it all started with just a little figure from the Book of Durrow. And you can read it whatever way you like. That's part one. There is part two coming up. But this is one way of reading it. 106 days. Abducted. July 2009, Darfur, Sudan, Sharon Cummins, Ireland, Hilda Kiwuki, Uganda, aid workers, hostages, released October 2009. The second part, apart from the centre, which again is the name, Sharon, in bold, and Hilda in normal on the top, and then the reverse, Hilda in bold, and Sharon fainter. The rest of it is made up of news headlines that were in the newspapers during those 3 months. Efforts continue to free Gull aid staff. Kidnappers feared as bandits and thieves. Sudan says missing Irish aid worker has been sighted. Relief as aid workers freed. Phone rings at 4 a.m. to bring 106-day nightmare to an end. Sharon Cummins reunited with family.
Just one back. So, yeah.
So these are two quick ones. Although I wrote that, there was a call out before the last general election, the second last, the 2011 general election. The idea was that spaces that normally had election posters with faces, posters of candidates, that some spaces would be made available to paintings and poetry. So there was a call out for people to write something for this, so that's what I did. Era. And now that I look back on Easter 1916, I think it's also my Irish flag. So that's that one. And they were put on big posters, and they were on the streets of Dublin. I think both Era and Tara were in two different places. Tara, again, it's just what it is. It's a kind of an alphabet poem which is interrupted by Tara. It kind of just goes A, B, C, D, E, F, and on to Z. And then it goes the alphabet backwards to A, again, interrupted with Tara. And originally it was in black and red. So it looked a bit better that way. So that's that one. And the last one is, the last one I'm going to read, 23 Snowflakes. So I really like this. This is like a mobile, you know these mobiles, these kind of circling pieces. And this one it's by Alexandra Calder, who invented them. So he called it 23 Snowflakes. And I thought, I want to copy that with letters. But to my disappointment, there are only 21 letters in 23 Snowflakes. So I added But the rest is meant to imitate, so that's why it just, again, what it is, 23 with an R, because the wind has blown the R around, and the E is around, and the S is around, and it just imitates a photograph of Alexandra Calder's 23 Snowflakes. So, is that enough?